morning. It's good to be here this morning. Before I begin, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you've graciously given us. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would just prepare our hearts for the service this morning. And Lord, for whoever's bringing the message this morning, I pray you would speak through them. Just pray, Lord, that we'd be open to whatever it is you have for us. Just want to thank you for all you've done for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning, it is really good to be here. My family and I, we've been gone for quite a while, a little over a year and a half. And it's one of the biggest things we missed while we were gone is just church, people, and just want to say it is really good to be back here. Learned a lot of things while I was gone, and one of those is don't take your church for granted. I know it becomes mundane sometimes coming to church and all the many things that we do here, but just want to encourage everybody not to take it for granted. We attended a few churches while we were down there. Our neighbor was a pastor. We went to his church several times. And one of the things that really struck me, depending where you would go, is the fact that some of the churches had no youth. Some churches have the average age of 60s, just a mere guess. And I had to think, it's sad, the direction that a lot of churches are going. Some would appear that unless something changes, they're going to not have any attendance in 10, 15 years. And I just was blessed the first time we came back to see all you youth. Don't feel like you don't matter in the church because you do. Anyway, so I've been doing a lot of thinking as far as what I wanted to share this morning. And one thing that really just seems to jump out at me that I've been thinking about quite a bit is just the church itself, is what makes the church function, or how does a church function? And I've been thinking a lot of just the term of unity. Can a church survive without unity? And I think most of us would say that, well, maybe it could survive, but it would not be very effective at all in the kingdom of God. And so I went through and wrote a number of things down, have some verses here and there, and you can turn to these if you want. I'm going to be jumping around a decent amount, but I wanted to talk about unity and just us as a person and what kind of, what do we add to our church? I wanted to start in 1 Peter 3, going to be reading verse 8. And these are a few of the things that it talks about, just unity in a church. First Peter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And, you know, you might say, what is pitiful and courteous? The NIV says, you know, be compassionate and humble. You know, we look at how a church can work together. You know, when you have members that are against each other, it holds back on what a church can really do. You know, when the church is unified by the Spirit of God, you know, and by their love for one another, how much more effective will it be, you know, when it can actually function that way? But unity takes, unity takes effort by everyone. You know, it does not come naturally. You know, we all have a sinful self, and there's things about other people that might bother us or bug us, no matter what it is. Unity takes effort. It takes work to make everything work the way it is supposed to. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You know, what is endeavoring? One translation of it would be eager to maintain. Are we eager to keep unity in our church? Are we eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? You know, unity, or even just the functionality of a church, it needs to be maintained. It takes maintenance. And when you think of maintenance, you think of, you know, I don't know if you'd say fixing it before it technically breaks. But it takes hard work. It takes diligence. But it doesn't take just one person. It involves everybody. in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. They go like this. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if we look at Christ and the mind that he had, the mindset, his thoughts, in his entire life, he never was about himself. He was always about serving others. And if we can grasp that, if we can have that as part of our life, of being a servant, the church can flourish. When the entire, you know, there's many examples you could use of this, and I had to think of just the simple a motor. You know, all the pistons working together and everything else. When everything is running perfectly in that engine, the engine's useful. It can get used. It can get the power that it needs to put out. But if, let's say, one of the pistons could say, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to run at the speed I want to run. That motor, it can still run, but it loses its effectiveness majorly to the point to where eventually, if you're like me, you'd probably blow the thing up or you'd finally get rid of it because it's just, it's not working right. That's one example of how a church can run. But a lot of things, one thing I had to think of quite a bit is if you look at Jesus, his disciples, and as he walked this earth, you know, Jesus handpicked 12 men. Why did he pick Judas? Yes, he did use Judas in his for the plan that, you know, he used it for his glory. But why? Why would you pick someone that you know is going to eventually cause dissension in your group? And a thought I had is for prayer. I'm not saying God brings people into our midst that cause turmoil just so that everybody gets down and prays. But it takes a prayer life. It takes prayer on everybody's part. You know, I think that's one thing that every person in a congregation and in a church can do is pray for each other. Are we praying for each other? Are we praying for our ministry? What are we doing for our church? The verse I had to think of, not sure where it's located, but says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think those are pretty powerful words there. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You look at your body and you look how everything works together. You know, when everyone does their part, a church can grow. You know, we don't. It's easy to get stuck in our rut where Sunday mornings, you know, Sundays, you know what? We do our thing. We go to church, go to Sunday school, sit through the message, go home, have our Sunday lunch, take our Sunday afternoon nap. You know, what is our Sunday really to us? Are we excited to go to church? Do we, so to speak, come to church and do people see the joy in us, or does it look like it's just the last thing in the world when someone wants to be there? A thing I had to think of is if we look at our church as a ship, ships don't sink because of the water that's around them. Ships sink because of the water that comes into them. You look at even the Titanic, you know, that was an impregnable ship, people thought, but look what the water did to it. I mean, they allowed, of course, it was in an accident, but when you let water in, stuff sinks. And when a church uses all the energy it has to stay afloat, so to speak, you know, how effective are you going to be in reaching the lost? You know, all that energy that to stay afloat, so to speak, takes a lot of energy. Imagine if we were working together in unity, if you could use that to try to reach the lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And we see a lot of verses here where God says to be of the same mind. And I don't know that necessarily means we have to agree on absolutely everything, because there's a lot of opinions on different things. But Jesus does say we need to be of one mind, so to speak. In Acts 4, verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Look at the early church. You know, the church grew majorly, and it grew very fast. People were hungry for it. But you look at that verse, and, you know, it says they were one heart of one soul, and it says neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own. You know, they gave for each other freely. And I'm not saying we've got to go and give all the money we have to the church, but I think we need that mindset. Are we willing to give to the church? And I think oftentimes we think of giving as a monetary value, but I don't think at all it is. I think it involves our time, just all the different things that make a church go, our attendance. And I'm speaking to myself here. You know, most of the time everybody comes Sunday mornings, but what about Sunday nights? What about Wednesday nights? How committed are we? You know, our children see that on how committed we are. And I know we can't make it all the time, but I think we should strive to be here every time there's a service. And I'm speaking to myself on that one majorly. In closing, Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, if we look at our church, and you see a church that is working well together, that functions together, you see how powerful those churches are. You know, when a church is arguing and bickering amongst itself, it's almost useless, or it's ineffective. A few thoughts to close here. Thing I thought of was, if everybody in church was like me, what would happen to the church? If every member was like I am, would this church, what would it be doing? Would it be growing? Would it be flourishing? Am I being an encouragement or a discouragement to all those who are around me? I think we have a lot bigger, we affect those around us a whole lot more than what we realize. And two verses I want to read here. In Romans 15, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I just want to encourage you this morning is to be a member of a church, but to also to strive for unity, to strive to work together, to build others up. And I think the easiest way to have that is to have a servant attitude, even though it's totally goes against our nature a lot of times, most of the time, at least for me. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you. Thank you.